Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show, 560 WQAM. Dolphins and Raiders this Sunday, 1 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins trying to go 3-0, man. Go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Another Friday tradition. In addition to me giving you bad weekend predictions, this is the good part of a Friday tradition. Omar Kelly joins us now. Omar, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. And so let me ask you.
Let me hold on. Let me tell you this.
Okay.
So it's a Friday evening. I went out last night, so I'm trying to take it easy tonight.
Okay.
No plans. And my fiance's down south visiting her nephews and her sister. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. And you know what I'm doing? A Friday evening? You know what I'm doing?
You're talking to me.
Other than talking to you. I'm gardening.
You're gardening? I saw you tweet out a picture of some flowers last week. Did you ever figure out what those are?
Yeah, they told me what they are. They're some type of rose. They really grow up north. I got to figure out if they can grow down here well. Sometimes it's a weather issue. But they're beautiful. My fiance liked them, so.
I am always fascinated by just the many sides of Omar Kelly, because I think sometimes people try and paint you with a broad brush. This is, you know, he's just a sports guy. He's a sports reporter. I mean, the fact that you're really into things like cooking and gardening. How did you get into gardening? How did that become an interest of yours?
You know what's funny? My mom, when I grew up, my mom was a 4-H activities coordinator. I don't know if you know what 4-H is, but it's like the unification of Boys and Girls Club, and they teach kids arts and crafts, sewing, gardening. It's mostly something that's in areas where it's populated by country, you know, farming towns and stuff like that. But they do have it in the city. And my mom used to work in like cities like Liberty City and Overtown, teaching kids how to sew and teaching kids about gardening and raising a pig. And I used to have pigs. I used to have rabbits. So I was the green thumb. My brother, I'm into cooking too. They taught us how to cook. I'm into cooking too, but I'm really into gardening.
Okay, so I got to ask you, when you talk about raising pigs and rabbits, did you ever eat the ones that you raised? Was it that kind of a situation?
You know, what you would do is you would sell them to the Publix at the U Fair. Publix would buy them at the U Fair. So, you know your cow and your pig is at the store.
So do you try not to get too attached? Like, do you name them or do you just say, you know, that's pig one and pig two?
They're just money. You give them a name, but they're just money. You don't get attached.
Oh, man. See, I feel like it, and I eat the hell out of some meat, Omar. I have no issues with that, but I feel like it's so easy for me because I just get like the pre-sliced meat at the grocery store. If I actually had the meat like living in my backyard, I might be a vegan because I think that'd be tough for me.
Nah, I like meat too much. it's going to be delicious.
So how much stock should I be buying in the Dolphins at 2-0? Is this the type of 2-0 where you have to be extremely suspicious, or are you thinking, you know what, they're 2-0, man?
You should appreciate every single victory in the NFL because they're very hard to get. A lot of the times one injury can sort of decimate a team's future. And the Dolphins have had some injuries that could have really challenged them in terms of the early season progression of this team. Josh Sitton, Marquise Gray. I mean, you've already lost two starters in the first two games, and really three because you haven't had Devontae Parker. I'm not sure many teams can say that. But you know, right now, I think what I've liked about it is they're showing me that there's a genuine attempt to create an identity change. There's a genuine attempt to create the offense that is ideally envisioned for Ryan Tannehill that I've been begging for during the Joe Philbin era. You can kind of sense that Adam Gase figured it out. midway through his first season with Ryan. But there's an evolution going on. I want to see if it can be sustained. You know, it's one thing to, you know, and watching the Jets just absolutely challenge Cleveland and give them some fits physically up front when they didn't do that against Miami, I said to myself, wow, that's pretty promising. That means Miami can be pretty good on the offensive line. And certain hints, like it's too early to tell what an NFL team is until probably week six, but this is off to a good start.
Devontae Parker, how easy will it be for Gase just to plug him back in, and who does he take most of the snaps away from?
Well, what people have to understand about this receiving core is that, one, Devontae is a valuable asset because everybody serves a critical role in that offense. You know, Kenny Stills is a spacer. He keeps things open for everybody because he takes a safety with him when he goes downfield. You know, Jakeem Grant, you know, people are so fearful of his speed, they give him 7 yards cushion. And you know, he's a run after catch type of guy. Albert Wilson is a physical player that they sort of use in a running back role. He is an important element. Hell, he runs the wildcat out of the offense right now. And then there's Devontae Parker. When you face teams like the Jets, who pride themselves in their physicality and their press coverage, you're going to need a big physical receiver to get off that jam and run that hard slant and run that 15-yard out and run that comeback and run that curl. And that's what he does. Those are the kind of players that create first downs and move the chains. And so understand where everybody is and what they do. Now, in terms of the snap count, I think you'll see everybody take maybe 10 less snaps to make up Devontae Parker's 30 or 40 snaps. But everybody comes off the field. Everybody has a specific, you know, Gase explained it to us today. Everybody has a specific package. And based on how your package does in practice, depends on whether or not you play. And based on what I'm seeing for the opposition is what package I'm going to use in the game. So it's nothing personal. It's like, oh, everybody go, you know, this isn't the same Jarvis Landry offense where Jarvis is getting 10 attempts per game. This is an everybody share, everybody care about one another type of offense.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on WQAM. Rashad Jones missed practice Wednesday, limited Thursday and Friday. Do you think he's going to play on Sunday?
I know he wants to play. I'm not necessarily certain that it's smart for him to play. Here's my problem, the dance I'm doing in my head regarding Rashad Jones. Do you want to chance him playing in this game as opposed to his shoulder healing up a little bit, being less sore and less tender, or do you want to play him and possibly risk losing him for the season?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, I think I've got to keep him on ice for a week.
Yeah, at least a week. You know, think about it. Rashad has been relatively healthy his entire career with the exception of his shoulders. You know, this isn't the same.
Right. I was going to ask you, this is the other shoulder, right?
This is the other shoulder, but come on, what happens to one happens to the other.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the simple law of medicine. And, you know, this thing is problematic, and it probably will be problematic for the rest of the season. Like, you could watch the game, if you watch the coaches film, and see Rashad was kind of shying away from contact. That's not his game. How can Rashad change the way he plays and still be Rashad? You have to give him a chance to get healthy and then give it a go. And then once he's healthy and he gives it a go, he can see whether or not he can deal with the pain of playing with like a shoulder harness for the rest of the season. But but pushing him out on the field when he's not 100% healthy, that's just a recipe for disaster.
You know, Omar, last season, the Dolphins only had 9 interceptions all year. Talking about the defense picking off passes, only 9 all year. They've already got 5 through 2 games. Does that tell you anything about the level of play being elevated, schematic changes, or might it be just a coincidence or based on the opposition?
I think it's a little bit of all of the above. You know, they had good players to begin with from, you know, Xavier Howard was still on the field, and trust me, Xavier Howard's a top 5 cornerback in this league. You'll figure that out eventually. so they had the players. Rashad Jones was always on the field. Kiko Alonso was always on the field. The ball just wasn't bouncing their way. I don't think they had enough opportunities in terms of, you know, special teams, and maybe the offense wasn't putting them in position to be successful, because it's a complementary game. And right now, they're playing quite well together. I think it starts with the defensive line. You know, I've thrown stones at them all offseason just because I looked at that unit without Rashad, without Ndamukong Suh, and I was like, well, where the hell is the improvement? I wasn't buying it, and I, you know, and so far they've probably been the most impressive unit on the team. And you're starting to get pressure on the defensive line, and when you're containing teams, keeping them from running the football, it opens things up for everybody else and forces quarterbacks to make more aggressive throws. Last year, quarterbacks didn't have to make aggressive throws because, hell, they were playing on third and six the whole game.
What do you make of this matchup with the Raiders Sunday? This is a team that, you know, last year they faced off a Sunday night game. Derek Carr had 300 mm-hmm. yards. Jared Cook burned the Dolphins 125 mm-hmm. receiving yards at tight end.
Marshawn Lynch, 2 touchdowns.
That's right. And those faces are all still there in Oakland, but it has looked like to me so far this year like a team that's still kind of looking for an identity under John Gruden. So how do you feel about the matchup Sunday?
You know, what's interesting is, you know, to me, football is a game about matchups, and I love these matchups of the Miami Dolphins. I have predicted this is going to be a win, but this is probably going to be the biggest win in my prediction of any that I have, just because your strengths play into their strengths play into your strengths. That's a recipe for, you know, and you're going to be wearing black at 1 p.m. on Sunday in South Florida. You're just begging to burn up in the sun. So I'm really buying this being a big victory for Miami. It's the first game that they're favored all season. That has nothing to do with teams, you know, or the odds makers buying into what they've seen from the Dolphins so far. No, it just has a lot to do with how bad Oakland has looked. Now, I will say this. That victory that Oakland pulled off last year, that victory and the Tampa Bay victory, both games at home, were, in my opinion, the two losses that ruined Miami's season. If the Dolphins had managed to pull off a victory against Oakland, they would have been playing in that season finale against the Bills with much higher stakes. Winner goes to the playoff stakes. And, you know, you got to redeem yourself from that, because that was one of those really, really, really hangover losses that lingered all season.
Omar, I spent a good chunk of my opening segment really praising Baker Mayfield, and the texters were jumping all over me. Oh, it's one game, Dono. Don't get too crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm a prisoner of the moment. But listen, I mean, I watched Baker at Oklahoma, and I liked him then. I liked him last night, Omar. How good is that guy going to be in the NFL?
I'm a fan. He's on my man crush list.
Good. Mine, too. I'm glad to hear you say that, too.
Yeah, but I will say this. Oh. His first game. You know, teams, like, you started to see a little bit in terms of how teams are adjusting playing Sam Darnold, and he played a pretty decent game, but he made mistakes that rookies do, and they cost his team the game. That's what happens, and you're going to see the exact same thing happen to Baker Mayfield when teams start to get film on him and start to understand his strengths and weaknesses and start to study him and start to diagnose and start to, you know, be able to adapt to what he's throwing at them. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Baker Mayfield is going to be all world, but in time, he could probably be one of the best quarterbacks in this league.
So, Omar Kelly.
I believe. I definitely believe.
I'm with you. Follow this man on Twitter, at Omar Kelly. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And is there any, like, other interest you can tell us about? Because we've talked about the gardening. You've talked about cooking in the past. Is there anything else that Omar Kelly might be up to during his free time that people would not expect?
Nah, just, you know, I'm a lounge guy, going out guy, concert guy. So, no, I like shopping.
Nice.
I like shopping for clothes, yeah.
And actually, I do have something I want to play for you, Omar.
Okay.
Like, I feel like this is something that if we can get, like, the Hard Rock Stadium DJ, if we can get a hold of him, I think this is something they need to start playing at Hard Rock Stadium after Ryan Tannehill throws a touchdown. I want you to rate this for me, Omar. Our own Tito Banach, who works on this show, he's not working tonight, but Tito Banach actually created what I think can be Ryan Tannehill's anthem.
Okay.
Let's get a build up. Just wait for it.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill.
Omar, I'm just picturing. I'm hearing it in my head. 60,000 plus at Hard Rock Stadium just chanting to that beat. Ryan Tannehill after a touchdown pass. What do you think?
Unfortunate song.
Oh, no. Did we lose him? Oh, he was so... Hold on. You were breaking up there, Omar. I thought the music, like, took over your soul. Did we lose you there?
No. I said that's... Unfortunately, that...
Oh, my God. Hold on. Sorry. You had me right after unfortunately you dropped off. So start... Unfortunately, that's what?
I said... Unfortunately, that song has the same Ryan.
This is crazy how the phone craps out right at this time.
Because I said sex. I said every time I say sex, it's like a mute button goes. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
I am being watched by the FBI. So,
Omar Kelly, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Enjoy the gardening this weekend, man. And I'll see you at the game on Sunday.
All right, see you. See you, Donna.
I love it how it's like every time he was going to give me his take on Tito's Jam. Wow, people are even telling me in Spanish how much they hate that. So Hector, can you translate this for me? Because my translation, I'm not a native Spanish speaker. I would assume this person is saying this is the greatest song I've ever heard. This is what they typed. Música es muy malo. Ryan Tannehill, malo. That means the greatest song I've ever heard. Is that correct?
The complete opposite.
Oh.
Yeah, he's even saying Ryan Tannehill is bad.
Oh, so maybe he just he hates Tannehill but loves the song.
No, he said música es muy malo. So he's saying the song is bad and Tannehill is
bad. Oh, okay, I understand. I thought he said the song is fantastic and Tannehill is a franchise quarterback. That's what I thought that meant.
We got another heck no, too, so I guess it's not a big hit.
Oh, but then we get, oh, this is bleeping fire comes in. So you don't know.
So what's
you're
up with Omar?
That.
It's been 3 weeks in a row that we have Omar on, And right towards the end of the interview, he always seems to just get muted or just his
you
phone
think that's
craps
like
off.
His way of like he's just deciding that the interview's over and he's and this may be a little out of character for him, but maybe like he's too polite to like tell me no, it's time for me to go. So then he just like starts messing around with his mute button just so that I get tired of talking to him.
I would assume so, but I mean, every time it happens, his phone just craps out right towards the end of the interview. Around 6:38, 6:39, it just craps out every Friday, no matter what.
Here's another Spanish text I will translate. I'm pretty sure this means bleep, yeah, greatest song ever written. Diablos, no, para esa canción.
Are we speaking in Spanish here? I mean, that's kind of odd. Three different numbers with three Spanish texts.
Another one. I know what that one means. I know what that word means.
Yeah,
that means it's fire. I think that's what that means.
Right.
The Alex Dono Show continues next year on QAM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!